kid-centric, kid-friendly performance at 4.
Right.
On
less,
Sunday.
Less ghouls, still decrepit.
Yeah, they're a little less decrepit.
Yeah, a little less.
They may be more groovy ghoulies than decrepit
now,
ghoulies.
I understand
Sunday.
That you have wrenched from the hands, the dead hands of the decrepit ghouls.
Yes,
challenge?
We've fished around underneath Zoltan's body, which lies in state at New Memories in Parksville. And I found $250.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's amazing.
And we figured, what, maybe we could, I think the rules are, Zoltan laid forth that if listeners care enough about the ghouls and his reanimation, to pony up another 250 within this hour.
During Chatskill.
During Chatskill. Then we'll match it.
Wow. Oh, man, that is very benevolent of the ghouls.
The ghouls, yes.
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 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org.
That's a great way.
That's
a great
where
way
you
to
can
donate.
Donate to help us with this challenge from the decrepit ghouls in Parksville. Here's the news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. With fewer than 2 weeks to go before the general election, the presidential candidates are campaigning heavily in swing states. Former President Donald Trump was in Georgia yesterday and held a rally in Duluth. He says his plan to bring down U.S. energy prices is to increase American oil drilling.
We will quickly become energy independent, and we will frack, 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 and drill, baby, drill. We're going to drill, baby, drill, and frack, frack, frack.
Later online, Trump blasted his former chief of staff, John Kelly. Kelly told the New York Times he believed that Trump met the definition of a fascist. That generally means someone who supports a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader. Vice President Harris says she, too, thinks Trump is a fascist. She made that claim last night in a CNN town hall near Philadelphia. Harris also plans to campaign later today in Georgia, along with former President Barack Obama. The vice president plans to deliver the closing argument of her campaign next week. She'll give her speech on the National Mall in Washington. NPR's Deepa Shivaram reports the Harris campaign says it's a symbolic choice to help mark the contrast between Harris and Trump.
The location of Harris's speech on the Mall is the same spot where, on January 6, 2021, then-President Trump encouraged his followers to march on the Capitol and, quote, fight like hell. The Harris campaign is hoping the location of the speech will remind voters of the chaos under Trump's presidency and the danger of a second term. Harris's address comes after one of her final swings around the country. She's rallying in the coming days with former President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama and campaigning in Texas to highlight the issue of reproductive rights. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, Philadelphia.
Stocks opened mixed this morning after striking machinists at Boeing rejected the aircraft maker's latest contract offer. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell about 100 points in early trading.
Stock in Boeing lost altitude after nearly two-thirds of the machinists voted down the contract proposal, which included pay raises of 35% over the next 4 years. The vote extends a costly strike at Boeing, which has already halted production of the company's most popular airplanes for more than a month. Tesla stock opened higher after the electric car maker reported better-than-expected quarterly profits. CEO Elon Musk is projecting a 20-30% jump in sales next year. UPS also delivered surprisingly positive results heading into the busy holiday package season. New claims for unemployment benefits fell last week. 227,000 people applied for jobless aid, 15,000 fewer than the week before. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks remain mixed on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down more than 83 points. The NASDAQ is up nearly 130 points. You're listening to NPR News. South Korea is again warning it could start providing weapons to Ukraine. This comes as the country claims North Korea is sending troops to Russia that could be deployed to fight in Ukraine. One of the founding fathers of Latin American liberation theology has died. NPR's Jason DeRose reports the Peruvian Catholic priest Gustavo Gutierrez was 96 years old.
The central insight of Gustavo Gutierrez's theology focused on God's, quote, preferential option for the poor, meaning that the life and ministry of Jesus concentrated on the poor and oppressed, and that the church should do the same. He argued Christians should be in solidarity with the disadvantaged and work for their political and economic liberation. Gutierrez's teachings relied heavily on Marxist critique of both governments and the church itself. Many of his followers sided with communist regimes in Latin America, an association that led some to view liberation theology as dangerous and the Vatican to investigate him in the 1980s. More recently, Pope Francis thanked Gustavo Gutierrez for his work, saying he drew attention to the, quote, poor and discarded of society. Jason DeRose, NPR News.
Officials in North Carolina estimate Hurricane Helene probably caused at least $53 billion in damage when it roared through the state last month. These are estimated costs to fix roads, water and sewer systems, bridges and schools. Then there's crop damage. North Carolina lawmakers have already approved $250 million in aid. North Carolina's governor is asking for $4 billion more. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Capital One, offering their premium travel card, Venture X. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and it's our fall fun drive. And I'm here in the studio with Mr. Andy Carlson.
Hello, hello, hello.
And joined by Patricio Rabayo as well. Hello.
Good morning.
And Andy is here because, you know, normally you would hear Andy during All Things Considered. Mm-hmm. He's our Thursday host during All Things
That's
Considered.
My time.
Yep. But he needed to come in a little earlier today because he's involved with the Decrepit Ghouls Variety Show in Parksville.
Yes, and it's headed up by Zoltan the Flayer. He's an evil genius, and he's created a servant spray, we've all been sprayed by it. The Parksville Arts Center has been sprayed and has been driven to come up with a $250
yes.
matching challenge for Radio Chatskill today.
Well, thank you, Zoltan, for that. And thank you for the Parksville Arts Center and the Decrepit Ghouls. It's a $250 challenge. Those of you who are not ghouly and groovy and don't know how this works, it's a matching challenge.
That's how it
and
works.
Even though he's scary, that Zoltan will give it to us if we raise $250. We don't need to raise the dead.
That's
just
the
raise
deal.
Some money. $250
right.
matching. That becomes $500. And I've been told that that moves that wheel by 1% on our progress for the fall fun
That's
drive.
That's what we're talking about. Just call us at 845-482-4141 or simply go to wjffradio.org and donate right there. It couldn't be any easier.
We're just shy of $35,000 raised, and that means we have $15,000 to go before the end of the drive,
That's
which
right.
is the witching hour tomorrow night at midnight. There you go. That's that witching hour sound. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Donate now. Patricio, you're here because you want to make sure folks know about a special we have coming up at 11 after Radio Chatskill as we keep folks connected to the election.
Yeah, we have another election special coming out of Radio Kingston and La Voz. Latinos in Local Politics is presented by La Voz Magazine. If you know, La Voz airs at 11 o'clock on Mondays. Hosted by Maria Fiora, some panelists include Sandy Oxer, our very own Sandy Oxer here from Sullivan County, Ruben Estrada, Juan Figueroa, Ulster County Sheriff, and they talk about being a Latino and being in politics and what it's like now in this political climate.
Yeah, Ruben Estrada is the founder and chairman of the Latino National Republican Coalition of New York State. As you mentioned, Juan Figueroa is the Ulster County Sheriff. And Sandy Oxford, co-chair, secretary of the New York Working Families Party and a political and community organizer at the New York State Nurses Association. That discussion about Latinos in politics is coming up at 11, a special election special for you here on Radio Catskill as we keep you connected. If you support all of this great local programming, call us at 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org. to make your donation, especially right now while we have distracted Zoltan and taken his money, or will take his money,
yes.
$250 yes. challenge, the Decrepit Ghouls Variety Show in Parksville.
If you're wondering some of these details of all these things we're talking about in Zoltan, all you need to do is go to decrepitghouls.com on the internet, and you can see all the details and purchase tickets to come to the show tomorrow night at 7, Saturday at 7, and Sunday at 4 at decrepitghouls.com. Com.
Yes, and we are looking for your support now because we are in the final stages of our Fall of Fun Drive ending tomorrow night. So help us with this challenge. That'll help us get past their $35,000 mark, past 70% of the goal, and just well on our way to meeting that goal by tomorrow night, midnight.
It's a big deal. Listeners have been really...
Oh, my gosh. So great.
So great all these last 2 weeks or so. And just very, very generous people stopping by, knocking on the door, dropping off checks.
Check. Yeah. I was making coffee the other day, and somebody dropped off a check to one of our guests. They're like, somebody dropped off. I'm like, wow, great, thanks.
People becoming sound supporters. Yes. They're like, oh, my gosh, I did that before, and I let it lapse because my credit card expired or for whatever. And they go, oh, you know, that was so effortless to just go ahead and make a $25 per month sound supporter donation and just let it roll. And by the end of the year, you've got, I'm not good at math, but that's like, you know, $7,000 or something.
Yeah, we know that money's coming in, and then we can budget for things in the next year and determine how much we need to raise.
That's a great way to donate.
We are locally supported, so your money goes right into the programming and the broadcast equipment and technology and digital platforms and operational expenses and all that stuff to keep us going and keep this going for everybody in the community. You're not just doing this for you. You're doing it for the whole area. Everybody that listens, and if you're a new listener and you haven't donated yet, or you're an old listener who donated a while ago, come on back, 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. Help us meet this Decrepit Ghouls $250 challenge. All right, Seasoned Gives and Hemp and Humanity are bringing the cannabis community together this week. The third annual Fall Hudson Valley Cannabis Roll Call is today. Season Gives is hosting that event in Lake Katrine. Radio Catskills' Nia Watson spoke to Tamika Dunkley, the executive director of Season Gives, and she's the co-founder of the event.
So it's a quarterly networking event. It's a business-to-business event primarily. We really created this to offer a safe space for people throughout the supply chain to network and to get together. The Hudson Valley is a really unique space and place. And because of our uniqueness and our proximity or lack thereof to each other, you can be in the Hudson Valley and be 2 hours away from each other. So this allows a very centralized location for people to be able to come, commune, network, and just, you know, really talk about the important issues going on in cannabis.
I love that you mentioned, you know, important issues going on in cannabis. I want to ask more about the event, but first I'd kind of like to talk about the rollout process from 3 years ago. With the Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act and the conditional adult use retail dispensary licenses, there were expectations among members of the cannabis community, but the rollout and plan for issuing licenses did not go as planned. Can you talk about the current state of cannabis in New York compared to then?
Here's the reality. So I was on, as many people were, on the forefront of trying to champion not just for the legalization of cannabis and the cannabis industry, but also for social equity, true social equity. And the state had a unique opportunity to invest and reinvest into communities, especially of color, who have been disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs. This was a way for folks to be able to really put their money, their time, their effort, and their energy into a community that has been completely dismantled because of the war on drugs, and specifically cannabis, really. Because if we look at the current opioid epidemic, it's being treated very differently than cannabis and the crack epidemic were treated. And the biggest differentiation is the color of folks' skin. When we talk about communities of color and over-policing, that is really the foundation that we're, as the executive director and as Season Gives, we're coming from. We understand that there is a huge economic opportunity here, you know, the largest one since prohibition. And realistically, those who have paid with their lives and their friends and families' lives and done the most time behind bars should be the ones to now have the equal amount of economic opportunity. Unfortunately, what has happened, despite many people's, you know, intent, intent is not necessarily what it transpires, because I do believe that there was a lot of people with good intentions. You know, despite many people's intent to provide true social equity, it got very muddled and convoluted, partially because it is unconstitutional to prioritize Black and brown people in terms of being able to create an increased economic fortitude. So that's number one. The number two piece of this is that in terms of the rollout itself, there have been challenges every single step of the way, including and up to, you know, funding. And that's probably one of the biggest platforms that I've been very boisterous on. And especially because we represent, we've really fostered primarily women and BIPOC businesses, especially for those who do not typically have access to investment funds, banking funds. And we all know that it's still not federally recognized. So the banking funds are still a challenge just to get a bank account. But it's really trying to invest into those who have never had that access. And they unfortunately still do not have that access. And that has caused a lot of issues, especially, you know, look at card. There's hundreds of folks who were recipients of card licenses and they still are not open a year and a half, 2 years later. And that is because of the monetary challenges. You cannot say, oh, here's a piece of paper, but you're required to have $500,000 in the bank with people who have never had anything. There is not that type of money in many of these families, especially those who were truly disproportionately impacted. So, you know, unfortunately, the services, and I'm in the technical assistance space, I'm in the space of helping to bridge these gaps. But unfortunately, because I'm in these spaces, unless they're willing to give up a large amount of their company, there's really not much that can be done without very, very, very creative financing tactics. So I'm sorry that to be so long-winded, but, you know, it's a really huge challenge amongst all the other challenges that you see in the media.
Thank you for explaining this. Just to clarify for any listeners who don't know the acronym CARD, it is Conditional Adult Use Retail Dispensary, the licenses. Let's go back to the roll call event. Why are events like these so important now?
Because, you know, unfortunately, there's still so much turmoil. It's so important for folks who are, you know, dispensary owners to be able to have the opportunity to talk to farmers, to be able to talk to micro business owners. It's just a really, really important space to hold. It's just like a chamber of commerce or any type of networking event, but with a different type of energy. And that's very important that we bring a safe environment where everybody feels welcome, no matter, you know, color, gender, you know, sexual orientation. We want to make sure that everyone feels accepted and appreciated and destigmatized. And that's a really important aspect of why we do these roll calls as well.
And turnout. How has turnout been in past roll calls? And how do you project the turnout to be for this upcoming one?
We always get consistently, you know, 150 or so people in the room. People drive for an hour and a half sometimes. We've had people come from the city in New Jersey, Massachusetts, just to do business in New York. And that's the beauty of being at 11 Lohmeyer Lane in Lake Katrine, is that we are an hour and change from Westchester, from Massachusetts, from the Poconos, from, you know, we're like an hour and change from Albany, you know, and from the city. So we are truly centrally located, which makes it so beautiful to create this space that is not, you know, divided by these imaginary lines that we have upstate versus downstate versus, you know, all that. You know, it's 10 minutes from the train station. If people come from the city, they can hop right on that train.
With all of that in mind, what do you hope attendees will gain from this event?
Well, I'm happy to report that people are doing business that stems from the roll call. There are hundreds of thousands of, if not more than that, of transactions that are happening between people who consistently come. So we have our group of folks that consistently come and find huge value in it. We usually generally have about 50% of the room that's new and 50% of the room that's consistent, and it alternates. It's really phenomenal. That is really the biggest thing, is we want people to be able to do true business transactions. Cannabis industry is very different. You know, the culture is very different, but it's still business. Right. And so we just really want to foster and support that in any way we can.
And is there anything else you would like to add about this event or any upcoming events or programming?
Well, Season Gives, we focus on really empowering, especially women in the BIPOC community through economic pathways. So that's one of the things that has sparked our involvement in cannabis. The roll call is this October 24th that starts at 6 p.m. and to visit HudsonValleyCannabisRollCall.com for more information, to buy tickets. And I hope to see folks out there at our next roll call. If you're involved in the cannabis industry, if you're thinking about being involved in the cannabis industry, I would love to invite folks to a series of events that we do for workforce development. It's free of charge. The first one is going to be October 29th at 6 p.m. That's going to be on the SUNY Ulster campus. And you can visit seasongives.org for that. And then there's going to be one at the Kingston Library at 6 p.m. on November 14th as well. Everybody can see more updates on our events page at seasongives.org because we do not just cannabis, but many other things.
Thank you so much for all of this information you've shared with us today. Tamika Dunkley from Season Gives, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
In Liberty, I'm Nia Watson for Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. It's our fall fun drive, and we have a challenge from the Decrepit Ghouls Variety Show in Parksville, $250 challenge. And we want to thank Warren from Hawley donating to kick us off, broke the ice, and got us on our way. Now just $200 to go to meet that matching challenge. Donate now at 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org. Every dollar you donate matters, and it helps keep the stories that matter on the air and available to everyone. One of those stories is from the town of Rockland, where they are invested in affordable housing and also supporting the community needs and environmental protection. To talk more about what they're doing there, we've got Robert Eggleton, Town of Rockland, New York supervisor, and Gwen Schantz, the cats from the Catskills Community Land Trust. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. Rob, can you talk about a little bit about what the Town of Rockland is doing in terms of affordable housing, in terms of these environmental goals to support the community? And by the way, for folks that are listening, it's not Rockland County. We're talking about the Town of Rockland here in New York, Correct. Which is Livingston Manor.
Yes, actually, the Town of Rockland is Livingston Manor and Roscoe.
And Roscoe.
And one of the things we've done in the past, we've become a climate smart communities, which means that we look forward to doing projects and setting goals to reduce emission gases, be a little bit more efficient with our recycling. So, and one of the things that goes along with that is housing and making housings that maybe are more LEED certified, better insulated, just better quality housing for new construction work.
Now, am I right? Was in the town, was there a moratorium on building new projects? And where does that stand now?
So currently the Town of Rockland has a moratorium on all development. One of the reasons for the moratorium was we really need to get a better handle on our environmental issues and protecting those environmental issues and our clean water streams and our land use and making development so it's more affordable, maybe looking more toward the multifamily housing units versus just large-scale, large expensive homes.
And Gwen, you're with the Catskills Community Land Trust. You're a private organization, but you're working closely with the town, with government. How do you guys work together to promote these similar goals?
That's right. We're a startup nonprofit organization. We're volunteer-based at this point. And our goal really is to work with Rob and his team at the town, as well as with other community partners throughout the region, to make sure that we're building and protecting affordable housing. What we're seeing a lot in this area, and really nationwide, is housing prices have outpaced wages. And so a lot of the people who live in our region who are working for the county, they're working for schools, police officers, firefighters, nurses, a lot of them can't afford to live in the communities where they work. And so we're trying to take a proactive approach to building and developing new affordable housing while also protecting existing multifamily homes and really thinking about the things that Rob is speaking to. So how can we do this in a way that is climate resilient? We have a lot of towns that are centered around villages or centered around rivers on steep slopes. Difficult to develop in. And so we want to be climate resilient. We want to be responsive to the needs of the local people. And then we also want to be thoughtful about our historic villages, the character, the beauty of the area, And also conserving our rural zones, our rural conservation districts, which are so beautiful. They're such an important part of our economy and our lifestyle. And so really kind of balancing all of these things while also really centering the needs of local people who just can't afford to live here anymore.
I must say it's refreshing to hear, government and private folks coming together with the shared goal to preserve the nature of your area. And especially in towns like Livingston Manor and Roscoe, which recently have seen these booms, with new businesses coming in, lots of new people coming in. And then, obviously there's going to be these other concerns and stresses put on infrastructure and development. How are you guys coordinating that?
So one of the things we do, which is great that we have so many citizens that are concerned in this issue, but recently we filled out a New York Forward grant, and the New York Forward grant actually, we have a good chance of winning the grant. It could be up to $4.5 million for Livingston Manor for both residential and commercial projects. And in that New York Forward grant, there were a couple of affordable housing projects that were listed. And that's really what kind of got us all together thinking that we really need to work together to move forward and try to find some affordable housing.
Yeah. And New York Forward, for folks who may not know, that grant is used to implement transformative projects from the state's strategic investment plan. So sounds like you guys are trying to transform and hopefully have a good shot at that. When will you find out?
We should find out sometime, maybe late December.
And what are you guys doing in terms of the Catskill Land Community Land Trust in terms of helping, find or identify these places where you can get affordable housing for folks who live in the community? What do you do to go about doing finding that and helping with the town?
So one of the first things we're doing is holding a community meeting in the town of Livingston Manor next Tuesday. It's October 29th, 6 p.m. at the Livingston Manor Library. Everybody is welcome to join. We're really trying to get feedback primarily from Livingston Manor residents. But if you don't live in Livingston Manor, we're not going to turn you away at the door. And our goal with that meeting is to really collect data and feedback from our local community and find out what is important in terms of housing development. We know what the town planning board's goals are around climate, around developing in a way that's helping to beautify our historic downtown. But we also want to hear from local residents who are directly impacted by housing costs. So what are we thinking of in terms of rental apartments, in terms of new homes for families who are first-time home buyers? So really trying to collect all of the information first and foremost, and then using that information to move forward and make some smart choices about the way we develop affordable housing for our community.
I would imagine there are a lot of other towns and citizens in the area who may not be living in Livingston Manor or Roscoe, the town of Rockland, who might be interested in what you're doing, because all of these things you're talking about impact so many people in the region. There's definitely a housing shortage. There are definitely these environmental concerns. So as you said, public is welcome. It's an event that's happening at the Livingston Manor Library Tuesday, October 29th at 6. There's more information at CatskillsCommunityLandTrust.org. Rob, other development that's going on in the area or other developments in the area, not necessarily the building kind, but other things that are going on you want to talk about?
So not so much about building, but we have a lot of things going on in Livingston Manor. We actually have the O&W Rail Trail, which is supposed to be through the entire county, which should be about 50 miles, and it's going to end in Livingston Manor. So we've really been working with the county to help try and move forward with the engineering process. There are other projects on tap in Livingston Manor, commercial businesses. Like you mentioned before, so many new businesses have shown up in Livingston Manor. So I think that's why affordable housing needs to be looked at further than Livingston Manor, because the people that want to work here may live someplace else currently. That's why I look forward to this meeting on Tuesday night.
Yeah. And just talking about that, the amount of new business, the amount of tourism coming through now, new people. I mean, the town has really revived, Roscoe as well. A lot of towns in the region, if you think about it, right? Do you feel that the town was prepared, and do you feel as if because of this new interest that's sort of motivating you in this direction that we're talking about today?
So we've always been proactive in staying ahead of this. We've actually updated our comp plan just 4 years ago. So that's one of the things we're doing with the moratorium, is to look at some of those action items that we had in 2020 and see if we can't move forward and try to implement some of those. And we're going to redo some of the comp plan because a lot has changed.
And it's a living plan, too. We had the Town of Bethel Supervisor Daniel Sturm on last week to talk about their comprehensive plan and updating it. As I mentioned, so much going on in the area, so much need for this affordable housing and for environmental concerns. Good that you guys are paying attention to it and staying on top of it. We've been talking to Rob Eggleton from the Town of Rockland. He's the supervisor there. And also Gwen Shantz from the Catskills Community Land Trust. More information at CatskillsCommunityLandTrust.org about that meeting, and more information at your town website.
Town of Rockland website.
What's going on there. Thank you guys for coming in today and for tackling these big issues and being proactive about it. I think folks in the community are happy to hear that.
Thanks so much, Tim.
All right. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with more Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Be right back.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Furniture Restore, located on Main Street in Jeffersonville. Specializing in antique and vintage furniture, rugs, art, and lighting. Because buying well-made and pre-owned is a better choice for the planet. Online at therestorejville.com. And from The River Reporter, the community newspaper serving four counties along the Delaware River in Pennsylvania and New York. RiverReporter.com. And from listeners like you.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life, and okay, I don't know about you, but at this point, I've got like Netflix, Hulu, HBO, Apple TV, and I bring this up here during the pledge drive because, of course, those places, they do not do pledge drives, right? Everybody who watches those services has to pay to get the shows, and I feel jealous, right? Like, it would be nice if we didn't have to interrupt programs to ask for money. If everybody actually paid, public radio would be swimming in money for ambitious programming. But of course, public radio is free. That's important, that it's free for everybody, for all the people who can't donate. If and when you decide to donate, you're keeping this radio station on the air for everyone who wants to listen, for the whole community. All of us who make these shows just want them to be out there for everyone. It's your donation that makes that possible. Here's how to pledge.
Keep Radio Catskill freely available to the entire community. Give now at WJFFradio.org.
You can also call 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org to donate, especially now during our fall fund drive challenge from the folks in Parksville that are putting on the Decrepit Ghouls variety show this weekend. We have heard from Katrin in Calicoon. Thank you so much. And thanks to Warren and Holly. And now we just have $150 to go on this challenge. $150 to go to meet the $250 challenge. And if you can support us, call 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. We just have a half an hour to do it. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. You're listening to Radio Chatskill. And as part of our community service here and part of our public service, we check in with folks around the region. And usually on Thursdays, we check in with the folks over in Northeast Pennsylvania. Today, we're talking to Molly Rogers to talk about the Sycamore Point Park. Molly, hello. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Tell us more about Sycamore Point Park. I have to say, I am not familiar with where it's located. Where is it?
So it's at the very end of 12th Street. If you come down Church Street, which is a one-way street, and then just before the river, you turn right on 12th Street. And there is, it used to be a corner of Honesdale that basically was ignored by everybody because it was such a disaster.
Oh.
It had an old industrial building that had been vacant for, I think, about 10 years. It had been a garage for an EMS building, for EMS vehicles for a while. And then I think it was, well, I won't quote the year because I'm not sure I'm correct, but okay. There was a minor earthquake, but it was enough to crack the building in a number of places and make it unsafe.
Oh my goodness. And
so it,
go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
So it eventually it was deemed unfixable. They couldn't make it stable enough to use, and it was beginning to fall, actually, it would have fallen into the river eventually because it was right on the bank. And eventually it was owned by the Wayne County Hospital, Wayne Memorial Hospital, and the hospital donated it, the property, to the Wayne County commissioners who eventually had the building taken down. And that was like the first step in creating Sycamore Park.
And you guys have transformed that area. Tell us what folks can expect there now that it's been cleaned up and transformed.
Oh, it's just amazing, the transformation. It has a short walking trail. It has a long, very gradual, handicapped accessible ramp so that people, whether they have canes or walkers or in wheelchairs, they can go down to the river now, which no one could do that unless you were able-bodied. So there are opportunities for people to just sit there's a park area with picnic benches, picnic tables, and just benches along the river itself for sitting and just enjoying the sound of the river. It seems odd, maybe, but we've had this river going through the center of Honesdale that so many people really have never just sat by the river and watched the ducks or listened to the birds overhead and listened to the river go by. And it's so peaceful and so beautiful. And there are, there is a boat ramp as well. So that's, those are the key parts. There's a park, there are benches, there's a boat ramp so that if you want to kayak or canoe, it's a great place to put in. If you put in there, you can paddle all the way down to the other river access point that we opened a year ago, which is in White Mills. And then there is another place farther down. If you have all day, you can paddle all the way down to Holly, where there is a takeout. So it's just...
That's great. I have to say, it doesn't sound odd. It's, if you had told me that there's a river in Honesdale, I wouldn't have believed you because most times you're just driving through. I've got to get to Mix and get my hair cut, or I'm going to Spencer to pick up some postcards for the station. But you're now you can go down to the river. I know there's a bridge that crossed some water, but I never was able to access it, or folks may not be aware of it. So it's great that you were able to transform it, this area, and open it up.
It is. I have taken some people down there. We had the ribbon cutting last Friday, and it was just astonishing the number of people who said, I've never been in this part of Honesdale before, and that they may live there. They may live a block away,
but <Yeah. laughs>
it wasn't a place that was worth visiting until, with the support of the county commissioners, the support of the hospital with their donation of the property, and two grants. One from the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources and one from the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission, and then a lot of private donations because we had a match requirement. So there were a lot of people who were thrilled at the opportunity that we could open up a park and open up the river for people to enjoy in a setting right in the center of town that a lot of people never even thought about.
Right.
So it took a lot of private support, some of the local banks and lots of the local companies, but just individuals. I mean, they may have given $10, $25, $100, but it all adds up to this great asset that visitors and residents alike can now enjoy.
Well, we know how that goes over here. Every dollar counts, right? And
exactly.
It's great to hear the community coming together to open this area up and folks can experience it. We have to get going, but where can folks get more information about, how to access it and anything else you want to mention about Sycamore Point Park, quick?
Well, the one thing, if you're interested, the group that helped the commissioners with the fundraising is called Lackawaxen River Trails. And that we have a website, the LackawaxenRiverTrails.org. And so you could go to our website and you can see the history of our group. We haven't existed all that long, but you can get a history. You can see maps. And you can make donations because we are always looking at what comes next.
Yeah.
So we are always doing some fundraising as JFF needs to do fundraising to just do what our missions are for the people in northeastern Pennsylvania and New York.
Absolutely. Well, Molly, I can hear the pride in your voice about what's going on over there at Sycamore Point Park. So thanks for letting us know about it. And you know, I'm gonna stop and take a look at the ducks on my way to the Alpine House next time. Okay.
Grab a sandwich and have lunch down there.
There you go. Perfect. Molly Rogers talking to us about Sycamore Point Park in Hosedale. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. And as Molly mentioned, and we are in our fun drive, and we have a challenge from the folks at the Decrepit Ghouls variety show that's happening in Parksville. We've got $150 to go on that challenge. Let's close it out in the next, 20 minutes or so. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Want to let you know about another cultural event that's happening this weekend. It's the Power Plays actually debuting tonight from Act Underground Theater Company. Culture reporter Valerie Manzi spoke to Keish and Lore and the actors who are in the Power Plays.
Good morning, Keoshin, and welcome to Radio Chatskill.
Thank you so much. We're happy that you've included us. Thank you. It's been great talking with you over these last couple of days. Thank you.
Well, it's our pleasure to talk to you and learn more about the Power Plays that you will be presenting this coming weekend at the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance in Narrowsburg. What are the Power Plays? Tell us about their history.
Power Plays is a highly entertaining and welcome tribute to the enduring power of the comic ingenuity of Elaine May and Alan Arkin. For those old enough to remember, Elaine May is often paired with Mike Nichols, but this time she's paired up with Alan Arkin, and they've written these two scripts that we're doing. One is called The Way of All Fish, and one is called Virtual Reality.
And why did you choose these two plays?
I was looking for two-hander, and I had four people that I really knew could do these roles, and I was looking for that. And so over last spring and summer, I was reading a lot of scripts, and this got handed to me, and I thought, well, why not? It's perfect. You know, it's slightly different than what Act Underground normally does, in that it's a somewhat absurdist play, though I don't want to go into that genre of theater particularly. But it just seemed really appealing to me to have four of my favorite actors in these roles, and we've spent a long time doing it.
Yes, and I've been in conversation with your actors, and that will be coming up very shortly.
I'm looking forward to hearing what they're having to say.
Good morning, Tina, and welcome to Radio Chatskill.
Thanks, Valerie.
Now, you are one of two characters in the play The Way of All Fish by Elaine May. Which character are you?
I play Miss Riverton, who is it's a secretary to the executive, and which would be Lisa, and she's kind of a dull character, but has kind of a dark side to her.
Oh, well, that's what makes theater interesting.
Yes.
That's got to get complicated.
Oh, it will. It will. It's a collision of wills, kind of, between the two. And there will be this power struggle between, you know, the executive and the secretary. And it's kind of like a ping pong game that keeps changing direction.
Knowing Elaine May, I'm sure there are a number of witty and biting lines.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, there certainly are. I mean, there's some great, each character has some great little speeches that really identify who they are. And that's part of the fun, is when we get to discover each other. And there, then there's this back and forth, this kind of shift of power.
How did you like playing this character?
She starts to reveal herself. That's where the fun begins, because that's a side to her that no one would have guessed. So it's been a lot of fun. And of course, I love playing, you know, off of Lisa.
Lisa, you play a character that's the counterpoint to the other woman in the play. And can you tell us about her?
Yes. So Margaret Asquith, she's the employer of the other character. Margaret is narcissistic, but not entirely unlikable, but very silly and fun and definitely entertaining. And I'm really excited to work with Tina as well, because the dynamics, I think, between the women are fascinating. And they're complex, and in a very short amount of time, they go through a whole array of emotions that are altogether fun and funny.
Now, what were the challenges in playing your character?
There's an aspect of her, I think, that's potentially cruel. I love Tina. You know, I have to have these dynamics where, you know, I am the boss and may not care enough about my employee and what. So it is fun, because then she also has to develop someone outside of Tina herself. And then we both get to be these other people who might do things that we ourselves are not capable of.
Yes, and we're not going to reveal that.
No spoilers. A murder mystery, but I won't say more than that.
All right. And now on to virtual reality. Matt Carpenter, welcome.
Hi, Valerie.
And you are a character in Virtual Reality by Alan Arkin.
Your character is called Lefty. I play opposite the Recha, which is for the right hand, and I'm playing the left hand. And I'm getting to play an ambiguous person who is meeting for a job, and I meet my new supervisor, Derecha. And Lefty, my character, begins to question kind of what exactly his new job's going to be. And the more he works in trying to figure out what this job is, the more taxing the situation becomes. And they go on a journey together. It's kind of the study in communication and who has the power. And my character is kind of a lone wolf. He works for himself. He's confident in what he does. He's not used to taking orders from higher up. And it's a great character to play, because Matt Nolan's character, which is Derecha, he has to be in control, and he has to, and they make very good arguments with each other. I can see myself in both the characters, and I think the audience will too. I think they're going to watch this and they're going to go back and forth. They're going to be on one character's side for 1 minute, and then the next time, you know, they're going to be on the other character's side, because the writing is that good, and it's funny, it's witty, it's fast paced. I think that it's going to be a delight for the audience to see and hear and experience the story of the play.
Now let's hear from Matt Nolan, who plays Derecha, to Matt Carpenter's Lefty. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Valerie.
So we're going to have a right and a left in this play. And what can you tell us about your character?
Well, as the names of the characters indicate, this is a play about opposites. I think my character is more of a buttoned up, tightly wound, organized, and my character set up to be the manager of this mysterious project that takes place in a warehouse. And part of what goes on in the play is these two opposites trying to get what they want. They have to go through a lot of different incarnations to get what they want.
And tell me what you found the most challenging with this character.
There are many aspects of the character that I see as personality traits that,
yes,
I have. So that lined up well. I think for me, it's the most challenging part is probably
remembering the lines?
I didn't want to say that, but, you know, that's always
I'm joking, of course.
But for me, I think developing more of the subtle physical aspects of communication as an actor, more than the away from the line, more of a challenging part. And it's what I love about acting in this particular play is just the collaborative nature of it. And so there's so much that gets developed for me personally from working with the group that I'm working with. So I feel really lucky to be a part of it.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to whet our appetites for virtual reality that's coming up with ACT Underground.
Thank you so much, Valerie. It's such a pleasure to talk to you always.
You are welcome.
Thank you to culture reporter Valerie Manzi for that report. ACT Underground is online at act-underground.com. Learn more about their productions coming up this weekend. You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, joined in the studio by Andy Carlson. Hello, sir.
Hello, hello. Good morning.
Issued that challenge earlier and from the Decrepit Ghouls variety show.
Right.
In Parksville. And we have now made that challenge. Do you want to ring that bell? Thank you so much. Ring, 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 ring. Here's what happened. We heard from Warren and Holly to get us going. Then we heard from Katrin in Calicoon. Continued. Lisa from Hurleyville became a new sound supporter. She also said she's not afraid of black bears, snakes, spiders, mice, or bats, but she is afraid of ghouls. Lisa also says she thanks the folks from New Memories for bringing this wave of creativity into Parksville.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
So very cool. We also heard from Martha donating online. Thank you, Martha. And then Anonymous from Parksville, another Parksville. Parksville positive person.
Thanks, everybody. They've all Close fallen under Zoltan's spell.
Zoltan is going to have to give us that $250. That makes it $500, makes that Wheel of Progress move forward. And just like that, we have moved past the $35,000 mark. We're at 70% of our goal. So thank you all for
Thank you, everybody, for doing that. Also, thank you to the Sullivan Catskills Visitors Association for helping fund the event, as well as the DVAA as well, the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance helped out a lot, too.
And it is the season. It's spooky season. So joining us now is the spooky Brett Kaiser from NACL.
Hello.
I'm scared.
Lisa, I don't know if you want to add this to your list of things you're scared of. You are here from NACL because you have your own spooky thing going on Saturday, the Danse Macabre.
We do. The Danse Macabre.
Tell us about the Danse Macabre.
Well, so the Danse Macabre is the name comes from a medieval processional performance. And of course, the famous Camille Saint-Saëns, Saint-Saëns, however you say Saint-Saëns.
Fon, fon, fon.
Oui, oui.
Which I recently rediscovered is where we get H-A-L-L-O-W-E-E-N spells Halloween. Anybody who knows that from childhood? That's the dance that comes from the Danse Macabre, that melody line.
I thought you were going to sing Hot to Go by Chapel Row for a second. That's what I thought was happening there for a second.
Fox on the Run.
Oh, wait. Sorry. You were talking about the Dance of Death. Go ahead.
It is the Dance of Death, yes. And what it is a celebration of life or living. And so we are taking this medieval theme, giving it a little modern polish with WJFF DJ Jason Tugau.
Yes. Oh, hey, that's cool.
He's spinning a wicked web of
Jason's great.
Wall of sound. Mr. Jason Tugau from the mixtape.
Helming the dance floor, yeah. And then we have something new, kind of experimental with this piece. We have an open, what we're calling the Ghastly Talent Stage. You can ascend to the Tinselvania.
An evil open mic.
Yeah, it's not really an open mic. Well, okay. I mean, yes, it's open in that you can do what you want, but we're hoping that people will choose ghastly talents that may not have ever seen the light of day night before. But I suggest juggling ankle bones.
Right. You don't want somebody, doing karaoke to Don't Stop Believin' or something. Yeah.
If it's spooky, I just got a chill. We'll take it.
I just got a chill from both those things.
So Danse, this is like a, you know, Danse Macabre is like your celebration of the spooky season at NACL in Highland Lake on Saturday at 7:30. You mentioned DJ Jason Tuga, our very own Jason Tuga from the mixtape, and also some other special things going on. Even you and Lindsay from Lindsay Anderson.
That's
from
right.
NACL we're doing some special spooky things.
Stepping into the spotlight for this one. We are reanimating at least two members of the band Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. Two spiders.
That's great.
Will appear. And that's sort of the opening for the evening. We've also collaborated on this event with a relatively new organization in Barrieville called the Black Velvet Lounge. And Andy and I were talking before we came on air about how many things are happening this coming weekend, particularly because Halloween falls in the middle of the week. And we thought, okay, we're going to be having events happening at the same time. Why compete? Let's join forces. And so we are opening, so to speak, the early part of the evening at NACL. The doors open at 7 o'clock. We'll have the bibimbap there with the Korean-inspired
delicious
food.
Yeah, they're great.
Jason will start at around 7, and the performance things will start around 8:30. Then at 10:30, the official after party at the Black Velvet Lounge is, there's going to be a costume contest, and DJ Cat Silk Mountain, aka Lonnie Chandra.
Hi, Lonnie.
Will be running the show there.
So you can, like, the freaky forces can all come together.
It's happening. They're coming together right now. I can feel it.
Right. So you've got the Decrepit Ghouls is happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's correct.
Happening just Saturday, but you guys can all Saturday converge only at this after party at the Black Velvet as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And anybody. The public is invited as well.
That's right.
So all of this ghoulish behavior that's going on in the area, everybody's invited to. Let's remind folks about where they can get more information about the NACL event on Saturday, the Danse Macabre.
Yes.
I'm doing my hands like this sort of like
people can
this
see that.
Dance
they can
movement
hear it.
When I say it. Danse Macabre.
You can find out information and get tickets at nacl.org. And I should mention that one ticket gets you into both of these.
That's cool. Great. Okay, that's so into great. The after party as well at Black Velvet in Barrieville.
Advanced tickets are cheaper.
And then where can folks get more information about the Decrepit Ghouls variety show?
Zoltan bids you go to decrepitghouls.com.
Okay. You have your own deadly website. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, it is ghastly. It is scary. So, Lisa, be careful.
Lisa, be careful.
If you go to decrepitghouls.com.
Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your ghoulish behavior and the spooky season, and for also supporting us during our fall fun drive.
And don't forget, that's the umbrella that brings us all together is Radio Catskill. Call us at 845-482-4141. Just go online and donate. It's the easiest way. WJFFradio.org. It's easy.
Thank you so much. And supported by the dead and undead. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. He has a good voice, doesn't he?
The voice of JFF.
He has we were just talking, like, he helped us with one of the NACL paid PSAs.
Yeah, I don't use any special effects or radio tricks or anything like that.
That's his real voice. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Donate during our fall fun drive. That's going to do it for this edition of Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening. Donate.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
My name's Trey Talley, and I listen to Radio Catskill for the programming and for the wonderful music. I just really appreciate public radio as a news source and as a community resource. Having local news and interviews is a wonderful way to stay in touch with my community and to find out about things going on that maybe exist outside of my usual sphere. It's hard to find news sources that don't make me feel like someone is trying to manipulate me. And when I turn on Radio Catskill, I don't feel that way, and it's a real breath of fresh air. I just want to say thank you to everyone involved in the organization, and, you know, please continue being the wonderful resource that you are in our community.
Your gift keeps local news, culture, and NPR funded and freely available to the entire community. Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Or call 845-482-4141. Our fall fund drive is wrapping up tomorrow night at midnight. We're 70% of the way there, so we need your help to get to the finish line. WJFFradio.org or 845-482-4141. Today's weather, sunny but a lot cooler. High of only near 55. Clear and going down to 32 tonight. Generally sunny tomorrow and a high of 57. Coming up next, it's a special for the election, Latinos in Politics. It's coming to us from Radio Kingston and our friends at Lavoz. Stay with us. It's 11 o'clock.
This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Made possible by listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org. Listen on air, live streaming at WJFFradio.org, or ask your smart speaker to play Radio Catskill.